From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Salvation is not spelled D-O, it is spelled D-O-N-E. It's not what we can do, it's what He has already done.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
A lot of people believe that Christianity is too narrow. They feel that there are many ways to reach God. You reach Him your way and I'll reach Him mine. But today, Pastor Wayne will show you that it's kind of tough to call it narrow when you see how Christ died for all of mankind and His offer of salvation is a free gift to all who will accept it. Here is Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled, Isn't Being Good Enough Good Enough?
Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Oh, but aren't there other ways? Let's read the next one. Go. And he said, see to it that you are not misled. For many will come in my name saying, I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. You see, a lot of people will say, there's many ways. Just be good and that's good enough. You'll get into heaven. You see, there's a lot of ways that are touted, but there's only one way. And it's not a philosophy. It's not accumulating good works. It's not a method. It's a person that we follow. Now, I'm sure you have heard people say to you, as I have heard say to me, hey, wait a minute though. It's this Christian stuff. It's not all it's cracked up to be. I know some non-Christian people that are better, kinder than Christian people. I know some non-Christian people that don't believe in God I'd rather hang around with than Christian people. And you're going to tell me that they're going to go to heaven, these aren't? What are you talking about? To that I would answer, you know, a lot of that is true. A lot of that is true. There are some people who are still working some things out. And I would say, you know, I'm so sorry for that. Because many are still learning, as even I am, to rid themselves of old baggage and take on the new nature that Christ gives us. But sometimes that old nature in us is pretty stubborn. How many of you would agree with me and say, there's some of that old nature that's still in me and it's stubborn? Yeah. Yeah, it takes a lifetime sometime to weed ourselves of that and take on that new nature. But regardless, it's still not about us. You see, if the world revolves around you, you'll ask the wrong questions because it ain't about us. It's whether or not you're on the right road with Christ. For example, let's say you're coming from the East Coast and you're going to come home to Hawaii. So you get on the plane headed for Hawaii, but by mistake, you get on the wrong plane. And instead of ending up in Hawaii, it is going to Los Angeles, Smog City. Now, just for illustration, let's liken Hawaii to heaven and LA to hell. No, this is just for illustration purposes only. So if you're from Los Angeles, forgive me. This is just for illustration, all right? So you're on this plane and it's headed for Los Angeles. Now you think you're going to Hawaii, but you're going to LA. Now watch this. On that plane, you can be the nicest person to everybody. You can speak well. You can even give money to the people on either side of you. You can give your lunch away. You can talk to all these people and just be the nicest person, and you just don't get into any arguments at all. You can just be nice. But it doesn't matter, because when the plane lands, guess where it's going to end up? It's going to end up in Los Angeles. And when you get off, you expect to receive a lay greeting and smell mauka trade winds. But instead, you land in LA and you get your baggage stolen. You smell gas fumes. And you say, how come I was so good on the plane? I was good. Don't tell me I wasn't good. I was good. I helped people, even gave money to passengers. I was good, God. How come I landed here? I was so good. But you see, it had nothing to do with how good you were. The issue is this. You got to change planes. You're on the wrong plane. Because it's not about your goodness. It's about who's carrying you and whose direction are you going in. Do you see? You understand? It has nothing to do with our goodness. It has nothing to do with your performance. It has everything to do with His arms and you resting in His arms or believing into Christ and coming into His embrace. In fact, would you write in the bullet there? It is not about our performance, but His. It's not about our performance. It's about His. Let's read Titus 3:5 right beneath it. Ready? Go. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. Would you underline according to His mercy? See, it's not our performance. It's His mercy, folks. Because you have to understand one thing about life. We are in a war for souls. The adversary of our souls, who is the devil, John 10:10 says, he comes to steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy. Nothing would give him more glee in order to get back at Jesus Christ, who overcame him at the cross, won the victory at Calvary. Nothing would give the devil more sinister pleasure than to take you down, to destroy your future, destroy your marriage, and to bust up your relationships. Because in taking one of God's children down, he gets back at the one who was victorious at the cross. Since he can't get back at Christ, he's going to take you down. And in doing so, he pulls your soul, and that's how he gets back. You are in a war. It's a war where the adversary of your soul wants to ruin you. And you see, it's not a comparison of how good you are. If you're in the middle of a war, you can't, I mean, you've got Kalashnikovs waiting, just waiting to shoot you in the head. You've got M16s geared right at you as well, ready to pierce your skull. And yet you're in the middle of a war and things are just blowing up everywhere. And you say, stop, stop, stop. You go out in the middle, stop, stop. I'm good person. What's going to happen? Yeah, bang, you're dead. It ain't about how good you are. See, you don't need a proclamation that says, hey, I'm good. You don't need a proclamation of how good you are. You know what you need? You need a victor. You need someone to come and quell the enemy. And then give you peace. You need someone to come in and usher you peace. And then the one who overcomes, then by his mercy, leads you into liberty. Do you understand? So sometimes we're just trying to proclaim and tout our goodness. You don't need to tout your goodness. You need a savior. You need a victor who brings the victory. And then by his mercy, he then leads you into liberty. Because it's sort of like even after the war is done, this landscape is riddled with landmines. And this one who brings the victory says, watch out, follow me. I know the way through. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it is to find liberty, you come through me, the Lord says. Not some other way. Follow me. And by his mercy, he gives you liberty. We need a victor, not a proclamation of how good we are, and then wonder if it's good enough to get us into heaven. Not at all. You see, Holland tried to do that. Holland in World War II, when the Nazi regime was inching, taking occupation of land and city, country after country, inching its way towards Holland. Holland went on Radio Free Europe and declared that, hey, we're not going to take sides, they said. We're not against them. We're not for them. We're just good people. We're just good people. So you should leave us alone. We declare our neutrality. They said that at 8:30 in the evening. By 1 o'clock in the morning, 500 planes were over Holland. 1,500 tanks had come in. 50,000 troops overran Holland and took occupation of Holland. Listen carefully. The devil will no more respect your declaration of how good you are than the Nazis did Holland's. Because it's not about how good you are. You and I need a savior. We need a victor who then by his mercy, not by our performance or goodness, by his mercy, he will lead us into liberty and peace and life. And that's exactly what we find here. Would you read it with me as it comes on the screen? 1 Corinthians 15:57. Let's read it. Go. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you don't need to proclaim goodness. You need a victor. And it is he who gives us the victory. Because folks, listen, would you write in number three, salvation is not spelled D-O. It is spelled D-O-N-E. It's not what we can do. It's what he has already done. I am so glad. Are you glad? Go ahead and tell him so. I am so glad. It is by what he has done. Let's read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Go. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You see, even if we could try to make it our own way, we'd just boast in our own selves anyway. But it's not. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, lest any man should boast. No, it is a gift of God. Not by what we can do, but by what he's already done. The price has been paid. And you see, it's the oldest thing in the world for people, men, humankind, to think we can be independent of God and just do it on our own. Way back in the Old Testament, they tried to do it. You know what it was called? The Tower of Babel. They tried to build their own way to heaven, make their own way to heaven with bricks and stone. God says, no, that's ridiculous. You can't do it. But you know what we do today? We build our own towers of Babel in the 21st century. But it's not with rocks and stone. It's with philosophies, justifications, reasonings, intellectualism. But we build towers of Babel all the time. It's an age-old thing we haven't yet learned that God says it has nothing to do with your goodness or your ability. You got to change planes. And I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You can't do it on your own. We've got to allow the Lord to pay the price, which he did. Let me finish with a story that's an illustration, so to speak. Let's say that I went into a bank and I said to the bank, you know, I want to borrow $30 million. And I know I can invest it, and in 1 year, I will double that, but I just need it for 1 year. Oh, the guy says, you know, if you borrow that and we give you that credit and you default, man, it'd break this bank. We can't do that. Oh, no, no, you just trust me, I said. Well, he said, you know, if you don't, then you're going to have to go to prison and your family won't see you again, and we're going to have to make sure that your family pays it back somehow with relatives, but you're going to stay in prison until it's all paid back. Oh, no problem. You can do whatever you want because I know I can get that back to you. So I sign a contract that says if I don't pay it back on this day, next year, I would go to prison. My family and relatives would have to find a way to pay it back, and I stay in prison until they do. So I sign it. I get the $30 million. But because of some poor stewardship, some poor investments, let's say I just lose the whole thing. It vaporizes. 1 year later, I come dragging myself back in, head bowed, tail between my legs, and I come in and I say, I'm so sorry, I can't do it. The bank manager says, you know you signed this thing. I know, I just can't pay it back. I lost it all. Then he calls the police officers. Come on, we know what we have to do. And I put out my hands like this, and they're just cuffing me to take me away. And my family's there crying. Just then, a really rich man comes in, Pastor Elwin. He walks in the door. Just so. He's got this beautiful suit on. And he says, hey, Wayne, how are you? Hey, what's the matter? Well, the banker said Wayne was supposed to pay back the loan of $30 million today. And if he didn't, then he'd be thrown in jail and his family would suffer the consequences. Is that right, Wayne? Well, wait a minute, Elwin says. He's my friend. I don't want him to go to jail and his family is going to suffer. Elwin says to the banker, you know that I own this bank. Yes, Mr. Ahu. Yes, we know. You know, I've got billions. Yes, all Pakes have money. And he says, I've got billions. You know that not only do I own this bank, I can buy dozens of banks. Yes, we know. Well, why don't you just take care of that with my account? 30 million is just pocket change. The banker says, well, that sounds like a good option, sir, but that's not between you and me, whether or not you want his debt to be paid in full. It's really between you and Wayne, whether or not he will allow you to apply his debt to your riches and your riches to his debt. That's something you two have to work out. So Elwin looks at me and says, Wayne, what do you think? I think, oh, I got nothing here. Well, what do you think?
Oh, I'd love to have your riches applied to my debt because I can't do it.
Because that's right, Wayne, because you'll go to jail,
I know, for a lifetime because my kids, they can't even clean their room.
That's right, so you'll be there a lifetime. You know what, Wayne? Would you like me to apply my riches to your debt?
Yes, I'd love for that to happen.
Okay, so be it. Banker, apply his debt to my riches to his debt. I want you to take his bill and mark it paid in full. When Jesus hung on the cross and he uttered his last words, it is finished. That's an Aramaic phrase he used, tetelestai. You know what that phrase is? It is finished. Or the word tetelestai, that was a banker's word that he uttered. You know what it means? Paid in full. You see, it was by his precious mercy that he marked our debt paid in full. That's his heart. But it's not a decision between Jesus and the devil or the adversary of our souls. It's a question between you and Jesus, whether or not you want your debt to be applied to his riches. Well, the availability is there. The question now is in your court. Would you like your debt to be applied to his riches and his riches to your debt that he marks yours personally paid in full? And that's why here at New Hope, when you say yes to Jesus Christ, it is the most eternal decision you will ever make. Because should I end up in jail for a lifetime, I can be the nicest person in jail, but I'm still in jail. I still will die in jail. I could be nice. I need someone to pay that debt. That's exactly what Jesus did. But being good enough in jail, isn't that good enough to get me out of jail if I'm good in jail? No, the sentence against you is for a lifetime. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is until what? Death. But the free gift of eternal life is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he will be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, it's by his mercy. It's not whether or not we're good enough. It's not even the question. The question is, will you say yes to his invitation that he might stamp your debt paid in full so that his riches will be applied to your debt? And when you say yes, that's when some way miraculously, he causes us to change planes. How that happens, I have no idea. But the Bible says he transfers us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Is that a miracle? It is a miracle. As we conclude, I'm going to ask you if you would bow your heads with me. Would you do that? If you're here today and you've never made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do it. The Bible says, whosoever will may call upon the name of the Lord. How was that made possible? Because He paid it in full. Now He waits for your reply. He waits for my reply. And He gives that individual invitation to you. Now you can say, no, I'm good enough. I'll make it on my own. You never will, because it has nothing to do with your goodness. You got to change planes. And that's why the Bible says, Jesus speaks and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you're here and you've never received the Lord in this fashion before, I'm going to ask you to do that. All of heaven awaits your reply to His invitation. You might be here and you'd say, you know, God knows I need forgiveness. Oh, Lord, I need your help. Please be my Savior, because I need a victor. I need a Savior. If that's you and you'd like to say yes to His invitation, I'm going to ask you right now to raise a hand. And in doing so, you're saying yes to Jesus. Go ahead. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Go ahead. Raise your hand. Yep, in the back. Just hold them up for a second so I can see them. You're just saying yes to Jesus. Yeah, to Him, not to me. Okay? Yeah. All right. Okay, up front. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You can put, good. All right. Good, you too. You can put your hands down. All right. If this is the first time you've received Christ outside as a yes table, please stop by either here or at Farrington or at one of the satellite sites next week and get a yes packet. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material that'll really help you in your first few steps with Christ. How many of you might be here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I don't take the time to just see the beauty of God's handiwork. I just am so stuck in my way, making money or this or that, that I really don't get my soul nourished by just taking time and looking at the beauty of the surroundings, because I know that it ends up in worship. I just get to thank God. It's healthy for my soul. It brings life to my soul, but I can be a Christian. My soul withers away because I miss life. I don't want to miss life by 800 miles. I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. And then I want to see Him at work all around me every day until I become everything that He wants me to be. I'm a Christian, but boy, I need to see God more in the things around me. That's my heart. And I'm going to commit myself to begin to do that more. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you raise a hand? Say, yeah, that's me. Lord, help me. Help me to do that better. Yeah, yeah. God sees that. God sees your heart. God sees your heart. Would you pray this prayer after me? And I'm going to just lead you in prayer. And remember, those of you that receive Christ, we could have you come up front or go to the side, but we have you go to the yes table out back and get some follow-up material. So please do that. But let's pray this prayer in closing. Would you pray this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and died for me, so that I might have forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. I choose to follow you. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. And I receive you as my Lord, my Savior. Give me eyes to see your wonderful creation, and that through it, I begin to see you. I say this so everyone can hear, so I can hear myself, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you for being here with us. May we now be people divinely transformed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ. Welcome to the family of God.
You have just heard part two of a message entitled, Isn't Being Good Good Enough? By Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening, and until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.